Hello. Welcome to today's MTC Studios broadcast, Getting Started, Business Powered by the Cloud. My name is Tyler Cooper. I'm a technology architect here at the Microsoft Technology Center located in Atlanta, Georgia. Here at the MTC, I focus on a number of technologies, among them cloud and end user productivity. During today's webcast, we're going to look at a few things. First, this comes up a lot. Why move to the cloud? We know that the cloud is a mega trend. People are very excited about it, but it's important to understand why this is a good business value decision for you, why this is a good technology decision for you. Once we've talked about that, I think it's important to think about what should move to the cloud. You know, the hybrid world is apparent. We have current existing investments in data center, and we really want to decide what's the right thing to move. After we've made that move, we then want to focus on what secure productivity in the cloud looks like. How does this work? Things have changed. The paradigm has shifted. The traditional firewall doesn't provide the protection that it once did. So we want to really talk about those three big buckets. And then once we're done with that, if you'd like to stick around, we'll have some time for questions and answers. With that, let's begin. So again, back to the trends where things have changed. First of all, devices. The device landscape has changed. For years, everybody had this beige box under their desk. That's where we worked. It was an 8-to-5 sort of thing. And maybe if you were lucky, you had a laptop that you took home. Now most people have three devices. I think it's pretty clear that almost everyone I know does. Between your phone, a tablet, and a desktop PC or your mobile PC, that's three devices. And a lot of people have even more than that. The other side of that is the landscape of applications has changed. Client-server is still a prevalent technology, but we're seeing more and more software-as-a-service applications. More and more of those software-as-a-service applications are delivered as a mobile app on iOS or on Android or Windows or a web app. And so the data's moved as well. Now, this leads us into things, the Internet of Things. More and more small devices like a Raspberry Pi that are out in the field, out in different businesses, gathering insights to help them improve a product, better understand what's going on in a store, climate control. But what's really remarkable is that data then we need to make actionable. So we bring that data into something like Microsoft Azure and process it. Takes a tremendous amount of compute to process those things. And so having an elastic cloud is so important to get those insights. Finally, we're predicting that by 2020, 50% of your IT infrastructure spend, traditionally what went to keeping that data center's lights on, power, and so forth, is going to move to the cloud. And we see that becoming a really prevalent trend because, again, we're taking some complexity away from the business. So really, it's three things to look at when you consider why move to the cloud. First of all, it's improved efficiency. For many IT pros, when you need a virtual machine, you're going to fill out a form, it's going to go into a queue, it's going to go to another team. They're going to get to that virtual machine request kind of when they get to it. Wouldn't it be nice if we had a place with elastic capacity where we could go fill out a similar form and get that virtual machine in minutes? Or even better, what if I need a SharePoint farm for development, 4 or 5 servers, its own Active Directory? Do we want the developer to spend their time building that? Or are there templates that we can leverage and then spin that workload down overnight for the weekend, kind of save? Earlier, I talked a little bit about the Internet of Things and data. Enable innovation in your organization. These apps in the cloud are critical to that because they are collecting the data. They're letting your business evolve. Which leads to the final trend, transforming your business. Really, it's the cloud and the ability to be in places that you've never been before because these tools are available to you. So it really is a great time to be in business with new opportunities for transformation. And when you think about how this changes the face of IT, well, IT can focus on providing new capabilities to the business. When we're not worried about storage outages, when we've offloaded mission-critical things like Exchange or SharePoint to Microsoft through Office 365, we don't have to worry about that anymore. IT can start to support the business and really become this fantastic partner that's enabling marketing and sales and different parts of the organization to grow the business, increase revenue, things that are really important for all of us. And so when we start to think about cloud, it's so much of a continuum. So on the left, this is where our traditional data center is today. We're building the servers. We are running power, network, hopefully both of those with redundancy. And then we're buying servers, we're racking them, stacking them. So huge level of effort just to get to the virtualization layer, right? So supporting network storage servers and virtualization takes a tremendous amount of effort. Now that we finally have that underlying infrastructure in place, we now need to work with our IT professionals to build the application, customize the OS, get it configured and deployed. So really, they take on that OS through app layer, which is still a pretty fair amount of work. We'll move over to infrastructure as a service, and it's quite a bit easier. Hey, virtualization. We just go from the OS layer up, and that's where we're responsible. But we're still patching. We're still upgrading applications. We're still doing some of the same things that we always have. We just physically can't walk down the hall and touch the machine that's hosting that VM, virtual machine. And that's where we start to move into these tremendous efficiencies, starting an infrastructure as a service where we move that layer out, so you don't have to worry about that, don't rack and stack. Move over to platform as a service. This is where we provide you a runtime. .NET, Node.js, you name it. We've got them in Azure. And we'll take care of the majority of that stack. So the network, storage, the server, the virtualization, the OS, the middleware, the runtime. It's fantastic. All your developers need to do is write code. Write code on the platform that they want to write for and deploy it to Azure. Pretty simple. Now finally, where we kind of hit this ultimate place is with software as a service. And software as a service is phenomenal. Office 365 is a great example. You take these really complex workloads like Exchange, SharePoint, Skype for Business. Your responsibility is no longer keeping them up and running, keeping the lights on. It's all about configuring it to meet the needs of your users. Take a look at that. We're handling from the application layer on down. We've got all of that. So when you start to think about how your IT group can become more efficient, taking some of these really complex workloads and moving them to the cloud is to your benefit. The same is looking at how your application portfolio works and how those should be shifted to run on platform as a service, because that's where you're really going to gain the most efficiency deploying in the cloud. And as you start to look at things like containers, it's almost incredible when you begin to think just about the density you can get in a small virtual machine today. Now, the bits and the bytes are great, but let's look at pure cost. To operate your own private cloud is kind of expensive, and there are still reasons to do that. Hybrid is important, especially for data and other things that just not ready to move to the public cloud. I mean, we also just made a tremendous investment in a data center, so want to keep that going. But just look at this diagram, and you can start to see when we look at really a scale of compute units, it's very, very expensive to operate this. And it's unlikely that you can achieve the same degree of automation that a public cloud can in your private cloud. So it's really important to consider this because it brings the cost of that down. We're taking care of redundant connectivity. We're taking care of redundant power. We've got hundreds of people that are in the facility ready to respond. Not a group that's on call that's getting paged that's a little unhappy at 3 a.m. when something goes down. And finally, for your business, elastic scalability is tremendously important. What always happens? We buy hardware for a two-year forecast, and we realize we need more hardware. Marketing comes up with a promotion. We think this can really be a game changer for our business. Now we need to support a much larger load on a new website. And what do? We're probably 3 to 4 months from being able to rack and stack if we put an order in today. Why not look at the cloud and, by the way, one of the great things about the cloud is we have data centers everywhere. We have 23 regions up and available today. So if you need a workload in Central, West, and East US, write the code once, deploy it everywhere. So let's talk a little bit about kind of what's in Azure out of the box. So again, 22 regions are online. What's most important to think about with Azure is a region is not a single data center. A region is multiple data centers. And so when you put your workload in a regional data center, in our regional facilities, it's co-located throughout. So if anything were to happen to one data center, it's in the other. Same with each region. So again, back to the example, we're in 3 different regions in the United States. We could lose a single data center in each region and your workload remains resilient. So just kind of starting out at the basics, every cloud's made up of network storage and compute. It's very simple. So virtual servers, containers. We have an Azure Container Service that you can take advantage of. Not only with the virtual servers can you build your own VMs, upload templates, you can take advantage of Azure Marketplace items. This means that if you use Barracuda firewalls on premise and you want to extend your application out to that in the cloud, you could implement a Barracuda firewall from the marketplace. Back to SharePoint, grab a SharePoint template out of the gallery and you can be deploying SharePoint very quickly. Your SharePoint developer doesn't have to stand it up. They don't have to build it. They don't have to work with infrastructure folks. Just turn it on, turn it off when you're done. A number of different storage types to really match your need, all the way from a shared SMB share to SSD, to very inexpensive archival storage. I mean, these are all kind of basics to the cloud, but it's great because now you're right-sizing your workload. It's not a different SAN for each one of these. It's actually giving you the ability to pick and choose and just put things where they should be. There's the containers, that's really neat. Now, our networking options are also fantastic. We can give you a site-to-site VPN. We can give you something called ExpressRoute. So you can actually use your MPLS circuit to gain a very, very high-speed connection into Azure. And again, those things are really starting to support your hybrid cloud as well. But there's so much more to Azure than just those basics, right? The Cortana and IoT analytics suite. We offer a full Redis and CDN. Integration through things like Azure Automation, Azure Active Directory with both Azure Active Directory for your enterprise and a business to consumer offering, so you can get out of the business of running a website with consumer identities. Web apps, again, CDN integration. Multi-factor authentication that you can start to add to your enterprise workloads very easily. And this is a fantastic set of services that are built into Azure that are very easy for you to take advantage of, and in many cases, apply them to both your on-premise and cloud workloads. And one of the things that I think is really unique about how Microsoft has approached this, again, we're born in the on-premise world, but very quickly making a transformation to cloud. In the middle of that is a hybrid solution, and we think that hybrid is really important. It's one of the reasons that Microsoft over the years has invested in something called the Windows Azure Pack, which allowed you to deliver something very similar to Azure on-premise. Later this year, we'll be releasing something called the Azure Stack, which actually gives you a parity between what's in Azure and what's in your data center. So when you look at the slides on the left side and on the right side, tremendous similarity, web, app, data. And again, this is about flexibility. This is about being able to take a virtual machine in your data center and protect it with Azure Site Recovery so that it runs in the cloud when you need it. It's about being able to move faster. Again, how do you meet a business demand when it takes 4 months to rack and stack a group of servers? And at Microsoft, we've been in the enterprise server game for quite some time. We've been in the data center game for quite some time. Really understand this quite well. So that's a little bit about how Microsoft has approached the hybrid cloud. Very excited to see Azure Stack ship later this year. It's a phenomenal product. So where does it all start? This is an interesting conversation that comes up a lot in the MTC with our customers. We ask, what do you think about cloud? Are you ready to move to the cloud? Are you interested? And it's not uncommon to hear, no, we're cloud averse. For privacy reasons, we really just don't think we can go there. And the conversation continues. Well, do you by chance use ADP, Workday, Salesforce.com? 9 times out of 10, one of those gets a yes. And so it's clear they're already taking advantage of software as a service, and they're more comfortable with the cloud than they realize. And what's so important to think about, these things quickly get outside the scope of IT because I can put a credit card down and I can sign up for just about any service that I want. IT doesn't know. They can't protect the data. They don't know where it is. So it all starts with identity. First of all, for the user, we want them to have a common identity. That's super important. I can't keep up with 10 passwords. I don't know anybody that can. So we started with Azure Active Directory, and this is paramount to Office 365. It takes Windows Server Active Directory, and it projects it to the cloud. And so what we're doing is we're giving those cloud applications the ability to leverage that common identity. So Office 365, Azure, your public cloud, SaaS offerings, like I described before, they're all there. It's connected. It gives your users single sign-on, which is awesome. I mean, they certainly don't want to keep up with a bunch of passwords. And as IT, we would certainly like to not cruise by people's desks and see post-it notes with passwords. So we're also giving them some capabilities for self-service there, where an owner of, say, a Salesforce-type application can pick people and put them into roles. Same paradigm we've always used, security group and roles. If you're a member of the security group, you're in that role. And so this is letting the business owners, the LOB owners, actually own that process. We as IT still have complete oversight, but we're letting them take care of that. We're not a bottleneck, and they're getting the service that they want. The other thing that's really remarkable, if you've run a Federation Services infrastructure, if you've built some of these tools, an identity provider, it's very difficult. Everybody plays a little bit differently in this way. They do things differently, certificate exchanges. It's complicated. It's work. Look at all these different apps that you can bring in to Azure Active Directory with just a few clicks. And so as we start to think about why, first of all, running a data center is not a competitive advantage for your business, unless you're in a very technical business. For most companies, it's just not, frankly. There's very few people that buy a million servers a year. We're part of the million server a year club at Microsoft. So what we want to do is help you to simplify those complex mission-critical workloads. And by minimizing the deployment of those off-the-shelf applications on-premise and moving to a software-as-a-service model, you get to take advantage of new features all the time. You don't have to worry about complex upgrades. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had. Hey, we're upgrading SharePoint. Do we need to upgrade the back-end SQL? How do we do it? How do we make sure users stay online? Or Exchange. Exchange is very specific. We may need to buy new storage just to get our new Exchange infrastructure up. All the plugins still work in an Exchange hybrid. SharePoint has a hybrid model. Why not move the lion's share of that to the cloud and take advantage of new features that are just there for you? No upgrades. And so that's where Office 365 comes into play, and it's a great software as a service offering. Starts at Exchange. Yeah, we can move the whole mail infrastructure into Azure. You can still keep a portion of it on-premise if you like, or if you have very specific plugins that need to continue to work. And awesome features, encrypted email, legal hold, DLP. As we talked about before, devices are changing the face of our productivity users. OneDrive for Business is something you certainly want to use to empower them. Help them get that data onto OneDrive for Business so they can consume it on any of those three devices and be productive. The workday no longer ends at 5:01, and that's why we want them to have these tools available. Yammer for social networking, Skype for Business. Great feature that we just announced for Skype for Business a few months ago. You can actually add dial tone capabilities to it. You can pick up the phone on Skype and call people. And finally, back to the devices. Office 365 gives them a way to download Office and not have to go buy it. They can use that Enterprise Office subscription to put it on five PCs or Macs, five tablets, and five mobile phones. And they're best-in-class experiences. That's why I believe that one of the best workloads to start with when moving to the cloud is Office 365. We're freeing up IT to do the things that help the business. No more Exchange server upgrades, no more SharePoint upgrades. Hey, you could even get rid of the PBX and move to Skype for Business. And the foundation of this all starts with identity, because as you move to the cloud, it's about software as a service. That's where you ultimately want to be, but hybrid is still a big part of this. So let's talk about the security aspects of that. And I think it's actually much better illustrated if I were to just show you. So what I want to show you is something called Azure Active Directory and its new identity protection service. So what I'm doing here is I'm going to sign in to Office 365. So take a look at this message that I've just received. We've detected something unusual about this sign-in. For example, you might be signing in from a new location, device, or app. I want to point out now that these can be gating factors to authentication. So what's really unique is Office 365 just said, hey, I've never seen you log in from here. This is peculiar. There's something very strange about your authentication. So it's going to force a multi-factor onto me to get authenticated. So I've got my phone. I just received a text message with this code. I'm going to go ahead and get signed in. By the way, if I did use this device a lot, I could check that box and not receive any messages for several days. But again, Azure Active Directory at the gate just stopped, prompted me for a multi-factor authentication and made sure that I am who I say that I am. To give you a little bit of background, Office 365 was absolutely right to stop me, and I'll tell you why. If you don't recognize this, I just entered Office 365 through a Tor browser. The path that my traffic took to get there went from Atlanta to France to Italy, back out to the internet. And that's how I got to Office 365. This is not a common path for me. And Azure Active Directory is actually sitting in the background looking at some of these different things, using machine learning, understanding that, hey, I'm based in Atlanta, a large percentage of my authentications come from there. Every so often they come from Seattle. But if I try to sign in from Atlanta and Los Angeles 5 or 6 minutes later, Azure is aware that that's impossible. I can't do it. Can't get from point A to point B that quickly. So it's going to stop me. And it's a pretty non-invasive way to stop me and make sure that I really am who I say that I am. So let me show you from an administrative perspective what that looks like. So this is Azure Active Directory Identity Protection. And what we can see is that I actually have a number of different events here, risk events that were closed. So we understand that a medium risk event occurred, but because I was able to satisfy that multi-factor authentication, it closed the issue. I mean, remember, I signed in with a username and password, which is something that I know, and I validated my identity with something that I have, my mobile phone, and I entered that PIN and responded to the challenge. This is just one of the ways that Azure Active Directory is protecting you. And by putting all of your applications behind it, your workloads are protected. This is huge. So now that we've talked a little bit about Office 365, we've talked a little bit about Azure, kind of moving towards the cloud, what's the next natural step? How do we keep the employees productive and let our chief information security officer sleep at night? And they don't sleep anyways, but I think we can help them. So again, the way we look at this, Outlook is a phenomenal app. It works on both the consumer and the enterprise. So I have my Outlook.com, I have my corporate email, I've got both. And what you notice is Outlook's aware of the identities. It knows what device I'm using. It can gate based on that. Again, this is tremendous with Windows 10. We'll talk more about that later. And the applications and the data. And this is one of the other things that I want you to understand. Conditional access is there. So that's actually applying those gates in real time. If I were to take the PIN off of my iPad, it would fall out of compliance, and I may be able to stop access to certain applications that way. The story improves with Windows 10 and provable PC health. Actually looking for early launch malware by measuring how long it takes to start the machine. And this is all through mobile device management, not even your typical domain join. Is the firewall on? Is it patched? Yeah, we trust this machine. We're going to let it access high-value assets. Not all users are up for that level of enrollment and management from IT, especially on devices that they own. And that's where we came up with mobile application management. These are regular apps that you download from the Android or the Google Play or Apple iOS store, and they have a special SDK that when they're installed and you sign in with your corporate credential to access that data, they go under management. And so it keeps my Outlook identity, my Outlook.com versus my enterprise identities, it keeps them separate. It really helps to make sure that I can't take things from one place to the other. By the way, if you have a current MDM, this will work with it. If you want to move to Microsoft Intune, you can deploy it that way as well. So you have great options. And for your users who just don't want to enroll, this is perfect. Continue to use and enjoy Office 365. And we'll just manage the policy on these applications that are important to us. Finally, we won't have time to talk too much about this today, but a self-protecting file is also a very important part of this equation. With Azure Rights Management, this actually takes an email, an Office document, and encapsulates it. It's encrypted, and it has a policy. So essentially, I control the policy. It can stop people from reply all. It can stop you from printing, copy, paste, any number of things. So I can take that document, send it out in an RFI scenario, expire the content. Or if we see that it went to the wrong person, we can revoke it. Tremendous set of options. And as well, you can apply these in Office 365 Exchange. Send an email out, for example, and it has credit card numbers. We're just going to go ahead and encrypt it if we trust where it's going. So I want to give you a quick tour of the Enterprise Mobility Suite from my iPad. Let me switch over to that device. So here I have my iPad, and we're getting ready for our board meeting here at Contoso. We're going to release a new product. Very excited about this. So I just got an email from Isabel with the draft. I'm going to go ahead and open that up in Word. So this is the Word that comes with Office 365. And what you can see is, A, it's a, you know, Word looks great. It works really well. But, you know, I want to work with some of this text. And what you can see here, if I'm able to copy and paste. So I'm going to pop back into Outlook. I've put that onto the clipboard. And notice, when I go to compose a new message, my default email address, because I'm in that account right now, is my enterprise mail. But as I switch over to my Outlook.com account, something really neat happens. The paste option has disappeared. Now, when I switch back over to the other account, I can paste that with no problem. And so this is, again, one of the really unique things with mobile application management and MDM and Office 365. So it's, again, it's helped to keep my data inside of my container. I couldn't send it using my consumer email address. It couldn't leak out. And this all comes with a tremendous amount of flexibility because as a user, things still work really well for me. I don't notice this. It's only when I would go and attempt to do something that I shouldn't that IT has intervened. And to that, when I switch back to Word, again, the app is tremendously aware. This content came from my Enterprise OneDrive for Business or from my email. And as I go to duplicate it and save it to my iPad, you can see that IT simply doesn't allow that. So those are just a few things that I wanted to show you from the Enterprise Mobility Suite. Again, mobile application management is available inside of Intune or inside of Azure and Intune. Very, very easy to deploy. Probably less than 15 clicks. We've talked quite a bit about Azure Active Directory and Azure Active Directory premium features that are keeping you secure. We've talked about how Intune can be both a mobile device management tool as well as a layer of mobile application management. Talked a little bit about how Azure Rights Management is there as well to help protect your data. This is great for the flash drive lost at Starbucks, the file that ends up on a public Dropbox. We can see who's opening those documents, where they're opening them, what type of system they opened them. Now, this is fantastic, and we've talked a lot about the cloud. What I haven't talked to you about is a complement to Azure Identity Protection that I showed you before, and that's Advanced Threat Analytics. Last year, Microsoft acquired an Israeli company, and they have behavior-based threat analytics. This is Advanced Threat Analytics is the name of the product when we released it. And what it does is it sits and watches your network. It watches authentications. It watches patterns. And it starts to learn what's normal, what's abnormal, as well as tell you where you might be breaking some security best practices. So what it's going to do is it's going to help identify those checkboxes that say password never expires and encourage you to turn those off. But it's also going to start to notice as people traverse your network in a strange way. As we all know, security is a huge concern, and with the average attacker spending over 200 days in an environment without detection, this is a critical tool. And again, the Enterprise Mobility Suite is really a great way with Office 365 and with Azure to start modernizing and securing your business and using the cloud as a competitive advantage. And with that, that's my presentation for today. If you'd like to stay on the line, we'll start question and answer in just a few moments. And this is how you can get started on your journey to the cloud. Thank you for joining us today.